But in a sense, God bless this evening. I was just giving a few minutes there for people to join in. Welcome to the Bible study for Wednesday. Trust everyone's having a good week, that the Lord is blessing you indeed. So welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. I'll share my screen here, and that should help us to get our topic. So what we're looking at this evening is seven seals of redemption. And as you'll see, they put part seven. Interestingly enough, part seven, and looking at the mystery of our lives. That's really going to be the thought that we have this evening. Now, the reason that I've said this is part seven is because in 2022, near to the end of 2022, October, around that time, we did go through and have a look at quite a number of the seals. If I can get my mouse to obey me, we had a look at firstly, setting the scene. We had a look at that. We had a look at the background to the seven seals. We then looked at part two, which was, what is a seal? We then went on to part three, which is the first seal. We had a look at the white horse rider. We looked at it in quite a bit of depth. We then went on to part four, the second seal, the red horse rider, and moved on then to the third seal, the black horse rider. Got into the dark ages and so forth at that time. We then got a bit sidetracked. We got onto a little leaven on part six, and then we moved into a topic that branched off from there called Why Revivals Die. I think that's what you looked at. So we never completed the seals. We never went all the way looking at the fourth seal, the fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal, which was interesting. So there's a chance maybe we could get into that. But I thought to try to bridge it and just see how we get along this evening. Down the line of the seals, and why I've thought of the topic of the mystery of our lives is twofold. Number one, anything that doesn't reflect in our lives, I don't think is really worthwhile studying much about, because what we desire is the word to have an effect inside of our lives. We want to see the word being made flesh in us. We love to see it. We thank the Lord for the word made flesh in others, especially in Jesus, in the prophets, through the messengers, through the church ages. But unless we see the word made flesh in us, unless we can see the mystery of God working inside of our individual lives, it doesn't really mean very much in the long run of things, which would be a sad thing to say, but it's true. Because redemption is only as real as it is to you individually. We can see the Lord does powerful things for other people, and he's delivered people, healed people, does so many things. But not that we're selfish people, but every single one of us, there's a deep inside of us that we want to see and experience redemption for ourselves. That's the most important thing. And that's what all the testimonies of people are for. Paul said these things happened for our examples. You know, so the Lord gives others experiences and, excuse me, and things that they go through, and great testimonies. And those testimonies, he designs them so that when we hear them, they stir up something inside of us that we desire in our own measure, in our own context, to experience the same redemption. I'm sure you feel the same as me. So we're looking at the mystery of our lives. There's the seven sealed book, Revelations chapter 5. But everything we're ever going to experience as believers, and everything that there is that is going to work in our lives and through our lives and minister to us in this life, has already been ordained by him before the foundation of the world. He determined our boundaries. He paid our redemption. He wrote our names in his book. So this great mystery of redemption, it's been sealed right from the beginning of time. But it's only revealed to us as and when. You know, he doesn't reveal the whole purpose to us. It just comes to us at times that we need it. That's when he reveals this great work. So, you know, his work is such a powerful work, this mystery of our lives. Our lives, the redemptive plan, the thoughts he has towards us are sealed up in a mystery. They're sealed up in the book because this is the book of redemption. And we know the Lamb is the only one who can take the book. He breaks the seals and he reveals redemption in his own season, in his own time. And we'll see that as we get into it. So We've looked at these other things before. We may get on to the fourth seal, fifth, sixth, seventh. We'll see how we go. But the important thing we're wanting to see in this is the way that the Lord works in these seals. The way the Lord works in redemption, it doesn't matter what he's working in, they are seals of redemption. So the Lord has the work of redemption in his heart. This is the very heart's work of Jehovah. This is the very purpose that Jesus became a man and died for us and is now our great high priest, our great shepherd, the one who watches over us, who has responsibility over us, because the heart's purpose of God is in redemption. And the seals, under these seven seals, they contain the mystery of redemption. Like I said, it's a mystery. It's not a mystery to God. He knows the plan from the beginning to the end, but it's a mystery to us because he doesn't reveal it all to us. He reveals only what we need to know. So the seals of redemption show us these are times when a seal is broken, like we're speaking of in our lives, or even in the church ages or whatever. Whenever he breaks a seal, it's a time either he fulfills his promise. It's like a season of visitation. It's a time when he wants to move things to the next stage of, you know, his purpose that he has. So as the seals are broken through the seven church ages, he's working redemption in and through his church, moving his church from place to place. Then the last couple of seals come for restoration. Then he sends, you know, the anointing of restoration to restore his church. So his mystery, his purpose, his redemptive anointing and power and revelation is sealed under these seals. And then he breaks the seal and he releases that anointing, that revelation, that visitation, exactly at the junction that it's required. So this is how he keeps his redemptive work moving, either through the church or through us and in us as individuals as well. That works the same kind of a way. So we all desire to have a deeper experience of redemption, I'm sure. So let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you for redemption. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your heart. We thank you that you care for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love your people. We thank you, Lord, that you're willing to pay the supreme price. We thank you for these things. We thank you for the things that are sealed. And we thank you for the things that are revealed. And may you help us, Lord, to just draw near to you in simplicity upon this evening, Lord. And Father, just help us and unveil to us just in a deeper, more real way. The mystery of our lives is our desire. Bless your people, we pray. Them that will watch this down the way, bless them. Them on YouTube, may you be with them as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are the seals of redemption. So the Lord works seasonably, we know that. There's certain junctions. Now, there's certain times it seems the Lord is very quiet. He doesn't seem to be doing very much. And then he moves on the scene and so much takes place. Angels appear and the supernatural takes place. Those are generally times, speaking of the age, the church age, when he is opening a seal. You know, there's something about it. This is normally the time where the Bible speaks of the time of the promise drew near. You know, it's time for God to fulfill his redemptive promises. So he, the giver of the promise, comes down in certain seasons in a far more real and personal way and manifests himself to bring to pass and fulfill the promises that he made. Like he did to Moses, I've come down, I've heard the cries of my people, I've come down to deliver them. If you looked at it in a sense, that was the opening of a seal. God was coming down to reveal himself, to move things on in his purpose and plan towards his children Israel. So these are very important junctions. When he becomes very personal, when his redemptive anointing is released from the tree of life, you know, the cherubim come forth in a symbol and they come to the bride and it's a come and see, and he comes and reveals things and shows things and quickens things. And this, in those seasons, there's things he opens up because he wants you to see or experience a certain something at that junction in your life, just as much as he reveals and wants the church to see and understand certain things at the junction of the church age that the seal is broken in. You know, so he wants to make things clear. He wants to move things on. That's basically the seasons when a seal takes place. In the seals, Bhagavan says in the first seal, we've read this many times, here is the plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. What is that? What happens? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. So the Lord will have a purpose at that time. He wants to unveil a certain purpose. He wants to do something. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to quicken his church. He wants to protect his church, wants to whatever, deliver his people. So there's an announcement in heaven. First, it's hidden in the mystery in the book. All of his redemptive purposes are written in his book. But then he announces in heaven. Now there's something starts moving in heavenly places. A seal is opened symbolically. You know, something changes in heavenly places. It's an important junction, and the mystery is unfolded. And you see those at these kind of junctions when Pharaoh, as we'll see with Joseph, when he has the dreams and he dreams of the seven cows and the seven corn of wheat. Heaven is opened, like heaven comes down, heaven opens up, things are revealed, mysteries are revealed, and Joseph now steps in, and you know, he finds himself, finds his place under that seal, and he interprets the dream, the anointing comes upon him, the ministry of Joseph now moves to a next level as the seal is unfolded. So these are very special junctions when heaven is opened, when the kingdom of God is at hand. Remember John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are junctions of the supernatural. You know, when like I say, he could have been quiet for 400 years, then the seal is opened and all of a sudden a supernatural moves in and plagues fall upon Egypt. Now the prophet meets a burning bush. These are all important things at junctions. This is when seals are opened in an age. And you'll find this in your own life as we look at the mystery of your life, that there's these certain seasons of visitation and junctions where he visits you in a far more real way. And he has a purpose in doing that. And great things are possible if you discern the season. When a seal is being broken in your life or in your church age, and you just work in harmony with that. You get into the channel. You get into the spirit of the composer. Great things take place. You can achieve far more in that season than you would be able to in maybe a whole lifetime at any other season. So it's very important for us to understand these junctions and these seals and how he works redemption inside of our lives. You know, I think it's a very, very important principle. That's why we thought maybe just to have a look at it this evening at the mystery of our lives. What does a seal signify? We looked at it before. A couple of things. If we speak of a seal, okay, don't to bear in mind we're looking at a natural seal, like sealing an envelope or a document or a parchment in days gone by. A seal firstly signifies ownership. You know, so when something's been sealed, normally on that seal, it would have the seal of the king or the seal of whoever it is that sealed the document. So that belongs to somebody, that document that's being sent, the letter. When you seal the letter, you lick the envelope, seal it, put a stamp on it, yeah, that belongs to you. That signifies that you are the owner. But nobody's going to go and seal somebody else's letter. Wouldn't make sense. You know, it's the person who's written it. Whatever the mystery is that's contained inside of the envelope belongs to somebody, and they're the one that seals it. It also means a finished work. Now, you're not going to seal the envelope unless it's finished, unless what you wanted to say has been said. Then when you look down at the letter, the document, whatever that it is, you're satisfied with it, you put it in the envelope, you seal the envelope with the seal. Now it's sealed unto a destination. It's addressed to somebody or to a certain group of people. There's something you wanted to communicate, something you wanted to say, something you wanted to be made known at that junction. So you seal it, send it to the people, then it's unsealed. The right people in the right place at the right time, they unseal that. Now it's unsealed to them. And what was a mystery before, what was hidden inside of your heart, inside of your mind, put down on paper, sealed away in the envelope, is now made open to the people that it's sent to. Yeah, and that's exactly the principle of what happens when a seal is broken. You know, there's something the Lord wants to be declared, wants to be made known. There's something that he comes down at that junction and he knows what needs to be done. And under the seal is everything that the church needs to know, and the anointing that goes with it for you to be able to fulfill his purpose, for you or the church to fulfill its purpose at that particular junction in time. Now, when we say it speaks of a finished work and ownership, we know that redemption, his work of redemption concerning your life, was finished in him before the world began. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So God's never had a new thought about you. God doesn't change his mind about the purpose that he has for your life, the plan that he has for your life. And we know in due season, in the fullness of time, the Redeemer himself came and paid the redemptive price, the blood of the lamb, the blood of Christ. He came and paid the price of our redemption. So God purposed our redemption. Sin came in. The Redeemer came now to redeem, to buy it back, to pay the purchase price, so that all that God had in store for your life and mine, the mystery of our lives, so that could be fulfilled inside of our lives. And then when Jesus died on the cross, paid the price of redemption, his work of redemption wasn't finished. He now moved into the role of the great high priest, his future work in the seven church ages, where now, as the church ages went forth, he progressively broke the seals of redemption to the church through the ages. He broke the first seal with the lion anointing. When the white horse went forth, he broke the second seal. And here was the anointing of the ox when the red horse went forth. When Satan changed his horse and got on the black horse, he broke now the seal, the anointing of the man. You know, that one, the third seal, and down to our age, the pale horse rider, the anointing, the eagle anointing coming forth. And then you get the fifth, sixth, seventh seal. You know, we could get into those things, but this has been the work of Christ, breaking the seals to the church, opening them exactly when they were needed, releasing an anointing, revelation, visitation upon his church at each junction, those very, very important junctions in time. And this was all sealed up. It was a mystery sealed in him, in his heart, in his mind. Yeah. And the mystery was of the church, and the mystery was of our lives. You know, what is written in the book, the prophet, what is in the book, the seven sealed book, is names. He redeemed you and I. He didn't come to redeem a theory. He came to redeem you and I. So your name was sealed away and then is broken. The mystery of your life is broken at his appointed time. And you are manifest and he reveals himself to you. Then he reveals himself in and through you. And progressively the mystery of your life is unfolded. So you declared in the right season. It's his responsibility to navigate us safely through and to bring us to adoption, to full expression. That whatever he's called you for, he wants to fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. Well, no matter how humble or simple or hidden it may be, but he wants to be glorified in every one of his children. And he alone knows this mystery of the church ages. He alone knows the mystery of our lives. And we just receive it as he reveals it to us. And in between that seasons of visitation and revelation, when he makes things known to us in a powerful way, we're called to walk by faith here and to wait for the next season of visitation, to be faithful to the things which the Lord has shown us. You know, so we're just trying to get a bit of a background here of the seals of the book, the seven seals on the book, but also there's the seals of our lives, this mystery that'll be broken as time goes on in your life. Because God never changes his divine system of doing things. So when you speak of redemption, the same way he redeems the church is the same way he redeems the individual. Same way he redeems the earth. He came down in the days of Noah. He baptized the earth with water. He then came in the days of Jesus. He shed his blood upon the earth, sanctification. He then comes at the end of the millennium with a baptism of fire. And he burns the earth. And it purges that the volcanoes break forth. And then he comes and tabernacles himself in the New Jerusalem on this redeemed earth. So when he redeems the earth, it's a threefold redemption. The water, the blood, and the spirit. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. When he redeems his church, it's the same way. When restoration comes, Luther was justification, Wesley sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then he comes to tabernacle himself in his church. That's going to be exactly the same way he works in your life as an individual. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, leading you on to full expression, to adoption. You know, so he doesn't change the way that he redeems. He redeems his entire, everything that's going to be redeemed. He uses the same system and he uses the same pattern as time goes on. So the way he redeemed the church, you are part of the church. The way he deals with the church, you are part of the church. So you're going to find the same pattern inside of your life. Now, the mystery of the age now, which is sealed up and under the seven seals of redemption, the mystery of your life is going to fit perfectly in with the mystery of your age. If he breaks a seal in your age, if a seal is broken, he's going to do work inside of your life so that you work your part in that mystery. The mystery that God has for your life is going to work perfectly in harmony with this mystery for the age. This is the true evidence of someone being spirit-filled, someone being predestined. Now, this is a truly redeemed life, is when your life, progressively, you're working perfectly in harmony with God according to his mystery purpose, the plan he has for your age, you know, your message of your age, the seal that you're under in your age. You'll find that your life, as you walk with him and he redeems you, you're going to fit like a piece in a jigsaw puzzle. Now, the mystery of your life is going to fit perfectly in with the mystery of your age. And that's one way you can really see that you're walking with him. That is truly a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, is that kind of a life. And I'm sure, like me, you desire a deeper and deeper walk like that. So let's just get to the main topic before we wind down. The final thing about a seal, it means ownership. And there's a lot of things we could say about that. It means a finished work, but it also, breaking a seal is loosing a ministry. You'll find that in stature of a perfect man. Here, whenever a seal is broken, you find an anointing goes forth, a mystery goes forth. There's going to be ministries and people, a messenger to an age. There's going to be a fivefold ministry. It's going to be, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit in the lives of people. It's, you know, whenever God unlooses the seal, breaks the seal and releases an anointing and heaven opens up, you're going to find God's going to start manifesting himself in his people. An anointing is loosed either to minister to you. God sends a messenger to an age. So under a seal, he knows what his church needs. He can send a messenger to an age. He can send the fivefold ministry to the, you know, the bride around the world. So it could be that he's loosing a ministry to you, or he also wants to loose ministry in you. He wants to progressively take you deeper and deeper so you manifest more and more of him, the mystery that he had for you in your life. So these seals being loosed in your life, this is his visiting you at certain key junctions of your life, because he wants to progressively reveal and unveil this work that he does in secret inside of you. There's certain seasons, it seems, things aren't moving very much, not much manifestation that you can see. Things might be hard. You're struggling with temptations, afflictions, whatever that it is. He's working on the inward man. It's an inside work, the hidden work, hidden life that he's dealing with in your life at that kind of a time, that hidden work. But then there's little junctions when he unveils that. He brings that hidden work out in public and he says, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter. In a measure, hear ye him. You know, that's when he looses a ministry and he takes you from one junction to another and leads you on to the full purpose that he has for your life. Let's have a look in the life, say, of Joseph. So the first thing about Joseph, the seal is opened in his youth, the seal is broken, an anointing is released, comes upon him, quickens a ministry, a calling inside of his life. He dreams in the days of his youth. He sees this great purpose of God right down to the end, right from the days of his youth. You know, so you can see that there was a season of visitation, supernatural visit him at that time. That started things going now in the real walk that Joseph had with God. So the big seal in the middle, that means the mystery of the age. God has a mystery for that age. But in order for Joseph now to find his part in the mystery of that age,
finish the prayers.
God
Yeah.
has got to come now and
Absolutely.
minister individually to Joseph. He's got to come and break the first seal of Joseph's life to him. And an anointing comes forth, a revelation comes forth, and something starts moving. And then it goes for a while. You know, Joseph, he gets hated by his brothers, sold into Egypt. Not much happens for a while. God is now working and developing character in him and taking him through things which he didn't really want to go through. And the next time we see another seal breaks in the life of Joseph is when he's in Potiphar's house. It's a ministry being loosed. You start seeing God anointing him. The Lord is with him in Potiphar's house. The Bible says there's now a deeper manifestation. He has his gift of administration. You can really, really see God dealing with him in a. It's not yet the full manifestation. We're going to see that later on in his calling. But God is like unveiling his son in a little measure again now, in a greater measure than he did in Jacob's house. He's now put in charge of Potiphar's house. The Lord blesses the whole of Potiphar's house because of Joseph. You know, so you can see to move things on, we'll get on to it, that under a seal, there's certain people under a seal. You know, a seal breaks and there's going to be certain people at that junction that you need to meet or need to meet you. And then God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So God now moves your life to the next junction now that he manifests himself and the supernatural comes in manifestation now. And it moves Joseph along the road to the fullness of his calling. Yeah, and then things go wrong again, and he's accused, he's in prison. God is now shaping and molding the vessel again, doing a hidden work inside of Joseph. And then when God is ready, it's time for another unveiling, another minor hear ye him in the life of Joseph. And the anointing comes down. Joseph's put in charge of the prison. You know, the gift of administration's manifesting even in a greater way than in Potiphar's house. You know, God is progressively leading him on. As the next junction comes, God breaks another seal, another anointing, another revelation. There's a declaration in the heavens, whatever. God's mystery purpose is going to be moved on in the life of Joseph. And now the anointing comes upon him, and these men dream dreams. So there's people you're supposed to meet at the next junction, minister to them, they minister to you. And you know, God has his mystery purpose, which now opens up at that season in a supernatural, a very special way to move God's purpose along further in the life of Joseph. And it keeps going on, and the next junction would be the next major junction, is obviously now the time of the promise is drawing near. God's mystery is going to be made known to Joseph. One big part of the mystery is that there's 7 years of famine are coming. You know, that Egypt's going to perish, the nations are going to perish, and more importantly, Jacob and his sons, the other sons are going to perish. That's what this whole mystery is about. You know, God's known this inside of himself. He's seen the need. And now he's been breaking these seals and moving redemption along the purpose along in the life of Joseph. And now finally the very big junction comes now. And here comes a major hear ye him, adoption time for Joseph. And the anointing comes down upon Pharaoh. He sees now the heavens are open. The supernatural takes place. He sees the vision of the wheat and of the cows. And he's so troubled. Then the butler remembers Joseph. Joseph is taken out, washed and shaved and dressed. And now he stands before Pharaoh and the anointing comes upon him. The supernatural works, the gift now of interpretation manifests in a great way. And now God's purpose is made clear for the age. Yeah, there's still another purpose, we won't get into it, but which is Joseph and his brethren need to be redeemed. They need to be reconciled to Joseph. But you can see, now if you start putting this inside of your life, you might be a young believer. You haven't seen too many junctions yet. You might be further along the road. This is the way that God unfolds the mystery of our lives. He doesn't show us too many things ahead. But if you're faithful at this particular stage and phase of your life, even if it's him working in the quarry, it's him dealing with your soul more than dealing with your ministry now, he's preparing you for something. And that's what the seals show us. When it's now time for God to move redemption's plan along, he breaks the seal at the right time, at exactly the right junction. And that's what's been happening at all of these junctions in the life of Joseph. And that's what the seals really are, these seals of redemption. And when a seal is opened, it's when the vision speaks. You know, Habakkuk chapter 2, though the vision tarries, wait for it. God's purpose, God's mystery. It's a heavenly vision. You know, it's God's secret mystery that he had inside of himself. Yeah. When a seed is opened, that vision, that purpose of God starts to speak. It starts to manifest himself. Now, God has thoughts and purposes. He has a heavenly vision for every one of his children. Paul says we are partakers of the heavenly vision. So there's a heavenly vision for your life. There's a divine purpose that God wants to unfold inside of your life. Left to yourself and left to myself, we'll never fulfill that purpose. We'll never do it. We'll get so sidetracked, bogged down, so lost. That's why he's got to visit us in these junctions. He's got to come and reveal himself in certain specific seasons to open things up and to move things along inside of our lives so that this vision progressively he's preparing you and then moving you on through these junctions to this final place, this final purpose and thought that he has for your and my life. And it's a redemptive vision. He wants to work redemption in and through us. And whenever visions speak, whenever these things unfold themselves, we've spoken of it many times, it always unfolds itself down to the right people in the right place at the right time. Under a seal, you're always going to find that when a seal is broken, it's the right people in the right place at the right time. So when Pharaoh, when the seal is opened to Pharaoh, the mystery of redemption at that junction in time, now there's the right people in the right place at the right time. Now Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. A gift makes a way for a man. That's what the Bible says. He shall stand before great men. Yeah, so there's these, you see, everything starts coming together. All that God has been preparing in secret and all the things taking place behind the scenes at certain times now just manifests itself and you see in a measure, oh, that's what he wants in my life. That's what he's doing inside of my life. I can say, oh, that's why he's taken me through these things. That's what seals are. It's like an unveiling of the mystery of your life at that particular junction. And it moves you on. There's a revelation. There's a quickening power. There's a redemptive anointing. Heaven draws near to you in a special way. And like I said, those kind of seasons, you can do far more for the kingdom of God in a short space of time than you could in a normal lifetime. When you're not walking in that particular channel of your calling, not walking with him in that channel of redemption. So it's the right people in the right place at the right time. That is what always brings the fullness of the blessing. When you get the right people, the people that are sealed, the names under that seal, you put them in the right place. They must be in the right place and it must be the right time. Don't run ahead of the vision. You know, don't hold back from the vision. It must be at the right time. When these three things come together, the supernatural is going to manifest itself. There's going to be great, great blessing. There's going to be virtue. There's going to be revelation. There's going to be divine understanding. There's going to be experience that's ministered into you in those kind of junctions because these are the conditions for divine blessing. To really glean fully the redemptive virtue, you know, whatever that the Lord is doing in that visitation, you know, you need to make sure you with the right people in the right place at the right time. We just want to coast on to that before we close. It's such an important principle, this. Now, this is borne out in our own individual testimony as believers. There's certain times, you've heard me say it before, like you have certain meetings that are just special meetings. Just something seems to have come together in heavenly places and the Lord is just pleased. That one there, I just came back from Brussels and I was saying to some of the saints, I was listening to the prophet in Mishawaka again. You know, there was just a coming together. The Lord wanted to break a seal at that time and bring the right people together in the right place at the right time. Unfortunately, the prophet missed that junction. We'll get onto it down the way. How you got to be careful when seals are broken that you don't miss the junction. Because that's when the plagues start coming. Those who reject the seal, the plague comes upon them. Maybe we'll look at that next time. But, you know, when he got to that certain place, when he first came among the Pentecostal people, he didn't even intend to be there. He came, he sat at the back. He just saw the signs on the cars, Jesus only. We know we looked at it a few months back in the Bible study. But it was a divine appointment. It was time for a ministry to be loosed. It was time for a mystery to be unfolded, that what God had been doing secretly and, you know, the hidden life inside of the life of the prophet, it was now to be hear ye him, you know, to take his son and put him in front of people and unveil the work that he'd been doing inside of this man. And there were certain people he had to meet and certain people that ministered to him at that time. And, you know, it was a junction that if he had have just yielded and walked in the anointing of that and continued under that inspiration and visitation that came with that seal, things would have quickened and hastened. He said, maybe the angel of the Lord would have come sooner and many more souls would have been in glory. So he always regretted that, the missing that junction in your life. Sometimes you put careers ahead of it. Sometimes you put relationships ahead of it. Like he did, he listened to his mother-in-law. We can make many mistakes when the Lord is now unfolding the mystery of our lives. And you get to those important junctions when you can see and he makes it real to you what he wants you to do. He makes things known that previously weren't known. A mystery is unfolded to you. Those are junctions and seasons where tremendous potential, tremendous blessing is available if you'll just glean and make use of those opportunities. We've said it before, there's certain times where somebody sings an item or a special, or we sing certain songs at church that are really blessed and anointed at that time. When the prophet came back from meeting the angel of the Lord, 1946, he came back from the cabin. He got back to his church. While he was away, they started singing the song, Only Believe. And he said, coming from that anointing of the angel of the Lord, coming now with that a commission, that anointing upon him, the seal had opened up and broken to him. You know, the mystery of his life at that time had been made known. That junction, when he walked into the Branham Tabernacle, he heard people singing that song, that anointing, that angel, he felt this is pleasing to the angel of the Lord. And he said that, the angel of the Lord loves that song. Only believe. So there's certain songs for certain seasons. They seem to have exactly the right anointing, the right spiritual frequency that ministers exactly what the Lord is intending to do and what is doing in that season. So, you know, really, really powerful things and times when tremendous power and blessing are available. You know, sometimes we have service, we sing other songs, and it's good, but it doesn't quite have something. There's a certain junctions where just the things come together, right people, right place, right time, something takes place, and everybody knows that there's something happening in heavenly places. And those are wonderful, wonderful times. Okay, so the right place. So it's the right people in the right place at the right time. I just want to speak a little bit about this because this is a very, very important one, that in this complex age where people are so worried about riches and about economies and stuff like that, it's quite easy for a believer to, you know, look to the green valley of Sodom and leave your place going after a better life economically. Now, we do understand that. You know, many people, nobody wants to live in poverty. Nobody wants to have a hard time. But we need to be very, very careful because we can find ourselves at the wrong place at the right time. And you don't want to be doing that. You want to be in the right place at the right time. And God has appointed it in the mystery of your life, in his plan of redemption for your life and mine, that there's a very specific place that he wants to meet you at each junction in time. You can't just meet him anywhere. You can't just go and live anywhere and expect to say, look, God's going to bless me the same as he would anywhere. It doesn't work. That's not how redemption works. That under that seal, there's certain people you're supposed to be with. You're supposed to be in with certain people in a certain place at a certain time. You know, the prophet was supposed to be with the Pentecostal people at that time. So when he went back now to his Baptist church, he said, the anointing left me, and he went through 7, 8 years, 9 years, whatever that it was, where his church started to, you know, he started to lose people from the church. Things went down, he said, you know, all the things that he had to go through. So it's very important to be in the right place at the junction that you're at now. Now, that may change with time. He may move you from that place depending on, you know, the different junctions of the journey. Joseph has to be in Jacob's tents at first. He needs that foundation. Then he needs to be in Potiphar's house. Then he needs to be in prison. Then he comes now to Capstone in the palace. You know, there's the right place. And this includes not only being physically, but God has provided us a place of worship, a place of fellowship at any one time. Yeah, under the seal, the mystery of your life, of the junction of your life now, there's a certain place God wants every one of us to be, and he'll confirm it to you, and he'll confirm it to me at each stage of the journey. It may change as the heavenly vision unfolds itself. That may change over time, but you'll know that when the junction comes, if you're walking with him. And if you're speaking about being in the right place, just in simplicity, I mean, if you bring it out to the most simple level, is being at the post of duty. Yeah, I mean, that is the place God has appointed to meet you and I, is in the post of duty. Yeah, like when the believers went to the upper room, 120 of them, like we said, the other 380 that were there with Jesus when he ascended, there were 500 who he appeared to. Where were the other 380 on the day of Pentecost? They really missed out on a blessing, because this was a seal being broken, an anointing being released. It was a very powerful redemptive junction, was the day of Pentecost. And they were supposed to be in the upper room, you know, the right people in the right place at the right time. But many weren't at the post of duty, so they missed that visitation for a season. Yeah, which maybe, I'm sure most of them, if they were elected to them, I'm sure all of them caught up with it down the way. But you know, the post of duty is a very important place, and a place that we very much underestimate. God has promised, he is obligated to meet you and I in the post of duty. If you're faithful to the post of duty, God is always faithful to you. And I can testify of it. You can testify of it. Just so many times the Lord has met you and I in the post of duty. You've come to church, or you've come for fellowship, or prayer meeting, whatever, and you felt you couldn't go on. And the Lord comes down, and there's a small seal is broken, a visitation, an anointing, a deliverance, a revelation, a manifestation. God makes himself really, quickens you once again, and you leave that place, the power of transformation having worked inside of your life. So it's very important, under the seal of redemption, the mystery of God's purpose for your life, you've got to have a place of worship. You've got to have a posture of duty. You know, this, those simple things, keep those simple things right, and you're going to find the big things will take care of themselves. Because he's the God of the big things as well as God of the little things. And he who's faithful in little, then God's going to entrust him with more. You know, you'll be found faithful with much, the Bible says. You just go and ask Jonah whether being in the right place makes a difference or not. When he went, made his own decision, when the seal broken, when heaven was open, when the mystery was announced, go to Nineveh. God had a mystery purpose to bring redemption to a whole city, the Ninevites, of wicked people. I mean, heaven, there was a proclamation from the heavens revealed to his prophets, as he always does. Amos 3 verse 7, God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. But Jonah got self in the way and decided, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm going to Spain. Sunny Spain, I'm going to Tarshish. And he gets in a boat, and he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, at the right time, in the wrong place with the wrong people. And it, like you've heard me say it before, didn't only cost Jonah a lot, it cost everybody else with him a lot as well. Because there's nothing worse than being with the believers in the wrong place. The believers out of the will of God. I mean, it spills over to other people as well if you're not careful. And that's when he finds himself now in the belly of a big fish. And God has to teach him a lesson, because when the junction opened, when the seal opened, he should have moved under that anointing, stayed there. But he didn't. He turned his back and rejected the seal, and the plague now. Temporary judgment comes upon people whenever that happens. But now look down there in the bottom right, when he goes to Nineveh. Imagine he goes into Nineveh and the anointing comes down upon him, and the people break down the idols, and the people are repenting in the streets, and the king is telling, put sackcloth and ashes even upon the animals. That's the power of being in the right place at the right time with the right people. That's when a seal opens. God's mystery for your life opens up. Don't worry about the comfort zone. Time to step out of the comfort zone at a time like that. You follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and God will do great things. God will manifest himself. God will be glorified, and God will unveil himself through you in whatever your calling, whatever your purpose is that he has for your life, in a greater way. So being in the right place, being with the right people, is a very important thing. And Satan will try to move us from that as much as he can. Now, if you speak about being in the right place, he showed us with the tabernacle and Solomon's temple This even applies to his physical place of worship. God didn't want them just to go and build the tabernacle anyway, or to raise the tabernacle anyway, or to build the temple anyway. There was a specific place that he had for it. He wanted that temple built in a very specific place. I'm just thinking of us now relocating as well. It's the same with us. God has the next, we're at a junction now. And now the Lord's unveiled a seal in a sense. And now there's the unfolding of the next stage of his redemption to move us to another place, a divinely ordained place. And when God does things like this, many times there's a mystery behind it. You won't fully understand why God wants you to be in a certain place or why God wants things to be that way. But give it time, and many times, if not in this life, but in the life to come, when all the seals of your life are made known, you'll fully understand the mystery and why it was important for you to be in a certain place at a certain time. Yeah, so we can dwell in tents, move from place to place like a tabernacle, until the ark found its final resting place in Solomon's temple. That's when now he didn't move it anymore. This is where it was all leading up to. So that's the same like these junctions inside of our lives. You're following the Lord, and then finally he gets you to the place. This is what it is all about. So it says in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 18, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad, who was the prophet, to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David needs to make a sacrifice. He sinned against God. There's a plague in the midst of the people. The Lord tells him, I think many times, we've spoken of it several times before, but go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite and make an altar there to the Lord. It'll stay the plague. Yeah, the prophet Gad, he catches it. He catches the mystery. He catches what God wants done at that junction. There's a certain place that David is supposed to be. There's certain something that God wants to be offered. They couldn't just go and make an altar anyway. It wouldn't have worked. There was a specific place. And the prophet Gad caught it and ministered it to David. That's a seal being opened, a mystery being made known. And David walks under the anointing of that and goes and makes the altar there, not even knowing why. He buys the place, buys the oxen, buys Ornan, the Jebusites' threshing instruments, uses them as wood for the sacrifice, and God's anger is appeased and Jerusalem is saved. Yeah, and you see that. There's David now. There's the angel of the Lord with the sword drawn over Jerusalem in the skies. And Gad has now sent David. This is a mystery being unfolded. And David's faithful to that part. He doesn't have a full understanding yet. But there must be something about this place. Why did God send me to this place? There must be some redemptive purpose, something important about this place to the Lord. Now, when David now wants to build a house, the Lord says, no, you can't build my house. You're a man of blood, but your son, he's a man of, he'll be a man of peace. I'll give him rest from his enemies. He will build a house for me. And Solomon now comes in 2 Chronicles 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor ordered the Jebusite. So, wow. So when he's trying to catch the divine mind, okay, where, Lord, should we build you a house? The Lord says, I've already revealed it to your father where the altar should be. Go and build it in that place in Mount Moriah. In the threshing floor, the place of the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So there's a link between these. There must be something here. That there's something mystery behind this. That why is the Lord interested in this place? What is this place all about? Now, obviously, it started centuries before that, the mystery of it. And it was because Mount Moriah is where Abraham went to offer his son Isaac, which is a perfect type of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we know the story well, how Isaac carried the wood on his back, Christ carried the cross up the hill, and Abraham, typing the father, was willing to sacrifice his son. Isaac was a willing offering. He laid himself down upon the altar, never struggled. It was a powerful, powerful thing. And then the Lord says, called it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide for himself a sacrifice. So right from the beginning, God looked at that particular place. And it all, whenever he looked at it, from whenever he created the earth, and he'd look at that place, it would move in the heart of Jehovah, something redemptive, because he knew what was going to take place in that place. It was going to be a real place of redemption. This was a very important place to the Lord. And obviously, we know that Calvary is just, it's part of the same range, it's part of Mount Moriah. Yeah, and Jesus carrying his cross up the hill, and Isaac carrying up the wood, and all those kind of things. We understand now, when the mystery is fully made known down the way, when Christ dies in Jerusalem, outside of the city gates, dies in that place, then we understand the mystery and say, okay, all of these things that you revealed in part before, each of these junctions, God is revealing a deeper portion of this mystery of what these things really meant, leading up to a certain place, which was when Jesus died on Calvary. So all of these things were part of one great mystery. Each was sealed and then unsealed in portion, and then the great seal was now opened when Jesus died, and everyone was, that's why he had to die there. And that's why David had to build the altar there. And that's why Solomon had to, because even back to Abraham and Isaac, you can see the place, locations and stuff for the children of God. There's a reason for these things. There's no, nothing's just by chance in the kingdom of God. God has a very specific place, a very specific call of the in the heavenly vision for your life. God has specific people he wants you to be with, and he wants you to be a blessing to. He wants to use you in a very specific way, at a very specific time, very specific place. Like I say, it may move from junction to junction. In a similar way, the question comes in, why little Bethlehem? Now, you go and listen to the message, 1964, December, why little Bethlehem? Such a powerful message. And the program asked the question, why was a little Bethlehem? Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Now, we know obviously Bethlehem means the house of bread. Yeah? This is the house of God's bread. So Jesus being the bread of life, he needs to be caught in Bethlehem. But the mind of the prophet caught it when Micah, when Herod asked his wise men, where will the Messiah be born? They said, in Bethlehem, because it's written by the prophet, Micah 5, verse 2, O thou Bethlehem Ephratah, you're not least among all the tribes of Israel, for from you shall he come forth, who's from eternity, and so forth. The prophet caught at Micah, the mystery of the age, and said, when he comes, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The mind of the prophet caught it. And there was such a heritage in that place. There was Ruth and Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, a mighty man. He shows forth redemption to Ruth, the Gentile bride. So you can already see there's something special about the fields of Bethlehem. There's Ruth and Boaz. And here comes David. Now Jesus is going to be the son of David. And David comes forth in Bethlehem. And that's the place where all these things take place. So the prophet caught it and could see the heritage, the spiritual pedigree of the place, could see the unfolding of the God's purpose in that place. And okay, there's something special about this place. God has a purpose. He wants to bring forth a Messiah in this place. So when the final fulfillment of his call, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The prophet had already caught it. He had already tied, got into the right spiritual frequency and tied everything together and said, okay, I see why these things all had to happen in Bethlehem. Why little Bethlehem? Now, God can break seals in our lives, the mystery of life, without us even knowing it. Now, if you think of the picture at the top there, Mary and Joseph, they weren't in the right place at the right time. They were in Nazareth, but they're supposed to be in Bethlehem because that's what Micah said. That's where he needs to be born. So the Lord knows how to get things done. Caesar raises a taxation, a cruel taxation. And a woman, almost, she's 9 months pregnant, has to take a serious journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to go and for the census, to be enrolled for the census. And everybody might have said, oh, you cruel-hearted Herod and that. But God knows how to get his people to the right place at the right time. And if you get out of place, he knows how to put a fish prepared for about 70 years or whatever it was so that it can get you to the right place. God knows exactly. You don't have to crack your head to be in the right place. You just yield yourself to the Lord. And even if you get out of place once in a while, he knows how to bring about events and move people to the right place. There's John on Patmos. I mean, John needed to be in Patmos, AD 96, whatever it was, because God was going to reveal a powerful revelation, the entire plan of redemption to John through the seven church ages, with the seals and the vials and the judgments and all of that. And how does he do it? The Romans come and arrest him. He's too busy. He's the pastor in Ephesus. They go and stick him in Patmos for 2 years. And while he's there, he breaks into the Lord's day and everything unfolds itself. There was a redemptive purpose. The mystery of John's life, as soon as he finishes recording the book of Revelation, he's released and he goes back to be pastor in Ephesus and he dies in Ephesus. Yeah, so you can really, really see God knows how to get us to the right place. You think of where you are. I don't think there's too many people watching today that are in their home country. I see Sister Roseanne there. She's a Harare girl. You know, we used to be in her house in Harare. We were Zimbabwean boys. And there's the Malaysian sisters, Malawian brothers, and, you know, Slovakians and Serbians and all of these kind of things go through. Yeah. It's a powerful thing to think about. You know, people from Ghana and Nigeria, and you know, you keep going, Mexico and Brazil, whatever. Yeah, it's really, really strange, the mystery of our lives, how the Lord can use economic hardship, can use civil wars, can use many things to move his people to the place they're supposed to be at that junction in time. That's why the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's an amazing thing to think how he can do these kind of things. And when there's Paul now in prison writing his epistles, his prison epistles, because he's so busy as well on his missionary journeys, the Lord says, but the New Testament needs to be written. The doctrines need to be recorded. So Paul, now he gets arrested, tied in chains. He calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he takes that time now, the seal of his life breaks, the anointing comes down, and he writes all of those epistles to the Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Corinthians and all the power, you know, of Thessalonians and all that. You know, God knows what he's doing. That's the mystery of our lives, these different junctions. And all we've got to do is just yield to the anointing at that junction. Don't kick against the pricks. Don't put yourself in the way. Don't try to put your ambitions and your plans first, because he might have to keep you a little bit longer in the quarry if that's needed. You know, he might have to purge you from a few things. We get under the fifth seal. It's a purging time, the sixth seal. And God has to purge his people. But the best thing that you can do is just yield yourself to the Lord at those kind of junctions. So next time, maybe we'll just get on to looking at the right people, because there's some principles there which are really, really important about redemption. Yeah, we'll finish off there because the time has come. But we're speaking of the mystery of your life, the mystery of our lives. We're speaking about these seals, that God breaks seals and reveals mysteries and releases ministries, and you know, his purposes go forth, and you know, he has visitations and junctions in life where he wants to, because he wants to keep the redemptive work in your life moving on. He has an ultimate purpose, an ultimate plan. He has a destination that he's bringing you and I to. Yeah, so he's going to come down at these junctions. That's exactly now. You take that to your seven church ages, you take that to the revelation of the seven seals in the book of Revelation. That's what he's done to his church. To keep the plan of redemption moving through these seven church ages, he had to release these seals, break these seals, release these anointings, revelations, visitations, ministries, and move people from place to place. You just read church history and you will see that God has a great, great purpose and a great plan in all of these things. So let's bow our heads as we finish. Father, we thank you that you are so much wiser than us, Lord. If it was left to us, we would have been so much out of your will so many times. But Father, you know better than us. We thank you for the times that you've constrained us, the times you put us in prisons of affliction and prisons of circumstances to keep us from following our own will. Because we know that every single time, Lord, it's worked out for your glory. So may you help each and every one of us, Lord, upon this evening. Father, we just want your will to be done. We just want to walk with you because it's a glorious thing. We just pray for fresh visitation, a fresh quickening upon every life, upon every home, every soul, every family. Father, maybe we need an anointing of get back in line, or we need an anointing, a quickening power in our physical frame. Or maybe, Lord, we're needing, Lord, you to break the seal because we're at a junction. We're not sure exactly which way that we should go. May you help us, Lord, we pray. May you bless your people upon this night. They that are on YouTube, bless them as well. They that will watch this down the way. And Father, continue to be with us in our fellowship. and you be glorified in all these things we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this evening. Any questions, any thoughts that anybody has? You can send it through to WhatsApp if you want. I've got my phone here. Any thoughts, saints? We're just trying to tie in, you know, the theory behind the seven seals of the Book of Redemption, and just trying to make it a little bit clearer by bringing it into our lives and how God works redemption individually for us in the same way that he redeems his church. And you see the same pattern, same system, same way that he works. You know, God is not complicated in the way that he does things. Anything before we finish there, saints? Otherwise, we get a cup of tea. Yes, God bless you, sister.
Yeah, no, I just want to say thank you so much for the Bible study. When I saw the title about seven seals, I thought, okay, you're going to be talking about the trumpets and, you know, explaining the mystery. But I love how you brought it to kind of our personal life. Like, this is right now. This is present. And, you know, how important, like, no, it's just thank you so much. It wasn't mysterious. It was like, oh, this is good. This is practical. I can relate to it. So I just, thank you for sharing that.
No problem. Thanks. In fact, that's the very purpose I did it, because we can get so much into the doctrine of it that you lose the personal touch. And I mean, redemption is extremely personal. When we say that Christ redeemed, he's the redeemer, and we see the Lamb taking a book, Jesus never died for a book. He died for you. That's how Abraham says, what is the book? It says, you are the book. When Jesus comes now to claim the book, take the book, he's taking his bride. He's taking all the people that are recorded in the book, everyone that he's redeemed. He takes his church in a rapture. He doesn't take a book in a rapture. You know, and I think it's quite an easy thing for us to dislocate the doctrine of Scripture, especially the Book of Revelation, you know, the workings of God in the Book of Revelation of redemption, from his personal workings in our lives. But he's the same God. The same God who works in creation is the same God who works in revelation. That's why if you look at the stars, you're going to find the same revelation in the stars as you'll find in the Scripture. There's this Virgo to Leo, you know, the Virgin to the Lion, and all those kind of things. Now, Babylon went and twisted up and made an occult out of it. But God put the stars in the heavens for a purpose. And you find, you know, the God of creation is the God of the Bible. He's the God of your individual life. And the way that he does work in one sector is with all his heart and very personally is the same way that he does work in the other sector. And if you can bring the things together, it helps us to understand a lot better the big picture when you start saying God works in the macro level at the church age, but bring it down into your individual church age, you know, your individual life, and you find that he works exactly the same way. We will find trumpets in your life as we get on. We will find plagues, the vials in your life as we get on with it. You know, we'll find them in the church ages, so you're going to find them in your life as well, because he deals with us in the same way, the same system of redemption. So God bless you, sister. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Before we finish off. If anybody has any topics or thoughts or questions concerning the seals, you know, send them through. We'll try to cover them as we get into it by the grace of God. I know we always say that we'll do this next week, but you never know. There's a lot of time between now and next week. I've seen it. It's impossible to, well, you can. It's not a wise thing to do, to preach what you want to preach. There's many times you make up your mind at the beginning of the week to say, on Sunday next week, I'd really like to preach this. And I've never yet seen it come to pass. You know? Because normally what we want to preach isn't what the Lord wants to preach. So when you start drawing near to the Lord and you wait on him, you find it goes off in a completely different direction. And the best thing to do is just follow the leadership of the Spirit, because he knows a lot better than us. He knows how to get the job done. Okay, let's finish off there, saints. God bless. Have a wonderful evening. Is there somebody out there behind all the names and the cameras who could pray for us? Is somebody there? Bro Max, are you there, bro? What I can see is Ab Max and George Kesho, just names. I'd like to see the manifestation of the person behind the name in the book. Bro George, are you there? Oh, brother. Oh, good stuff. Bro George, you pray for us, please, bro.
Tomb. That's yes. Great sense.
Yeah.
Jesus, Father, we are grateful, Father, even to know thee, Father, for to know thee is life. And even in these things that, Lord, Father, are unveiling, Lord, the mystery of our life, O God. Father, it's a gradual process, O God. And as we grow as Christians, Lord, Father, O God, we, Lord, grow to a point where, Lord, Father, it's no longer, Lord, Father, the people around us, our families, Lord, but it's a personal relationship, O God. Our relationship, Lord, Father, O God, grows from glory unto glory. And we get closer and closer to thee, O God. And Lord, as the pastor has expressed many a time, Father, that it's not the loud bangs and the loud noises, O God. Our lives get, Lord, so personal that, Lord, Father, it's an inside life that just keeps growing. It's an inside life that is communicating with thee, O God. Lord, though we may be in crowds of people, though we may be at work, but that inside life, Lord, is just pulsating and making a communication with the heavenlies, O God. And many a time, Father, just the thoughts and the desires of our hearts are answered, Lord, Father, and just our meditations, O God. Father, we're grateful, Father, for these mysteries of our lives, O God. For the greatest mystery, Father, is to know who we are and where we fit in, as Pastor showed us tonight. Lord, and how, Father, Lord, we fit into this great plan of redemption. For Lord, we're not only going to act it out here, but throughout eternity, O God. Father, this is a preliminary, Lord, Father, of the life that we would live beyond the curtain of time. Father,
Yes.
I believe, Lord, Father, we would live, Lord, Father, similar lives, O God. Father,
Yes.
Lord, precious Savior, and we would fit in to that great heavenly economy, O God. We thank you for your grace, for we know this word was not brought, Lord, Father, to dry ears, O God, or brought to go void, but it's brought to bring about a life close to thee, O God, a life that we would know that we are, Lord, Father, O God, Mrs. Jesus, O God. We are the bride in this end time, O God. And Lord, when we get, Lord, Father, quickened like this, O God, then we start to think of the people around us. Lord, we try to speak to those people. We have a burning desire within our souls, Father, to spread this gospel, O God. We thank you for these opportunities, even for this opportunity this night that will go, Lord, Father, O God, in the books of time. Lord, Father, and Lord, it will be recalled, Father, even amidst our lives, to say, I spoke to you that day. I reached out to you that day. How did we receive it, Lord? Bless our pastor. Give him virtue. Give him strength. Give him, Lord, Father, oh God, a constant desire, Lord, to bring these things unto us, oh God. For these things are not just to come to us, oh God, but Lord, they are to, Lord Savior, bring us into that perfect image, oh God. Lord, that perfect reflection that, Lord, in the mirror we would only see Jesus, Lord, Jesus dwelling amidst our lives. We bless you, we praise you. Bless us now as we part. Bless every home, bless every brother, every sister. Lord, we're in all corners of the earth, oh God. But bless the saints, oh God. Keep us now, Father, until we meet again. Father, give us grace that, Lord, we ponder these things, oh God. And we know as we ponder, you draw closer to us, oh God. Father, just help us in Jesus' name. We thank you. Restore virtue again to your servant. Restore grace unto all that have tuned in this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thanks, brother. God bless, saints. Have a wonderful night. Meet you Friday. Meet you Sunday. Meet you Wednesday. Whenever it is, God bless you richly. Sister Roseanne, God bless each and everyone
Bless
who's
you too,
joined.
Sam. Thank you so much. Bye, Georgie.
Bye, Sister Roseanne. Bye, bye,
There's a
bye.
ghost. Ah, there's a ghost.
God bless. Keep touch.
God
Bye.
bless.
Bye, God. Amen.